Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we're discovering how not to be surprised when Jesus returns.
If he were to come today, I'd be about my Father's business? Would I be living right, acting right, doing what's right? And so every believer lives with this sense that Jesus Christ could come again at any moment. And I want to live ready for the second coming of Christ, expecting the second coming of Christ at any moment.
Happy Thanksgiving. This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to Mark Job, president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Mark, happy Thanksgiving to you and Dee.
Hey, it's a great time to be thankful, and boy, do we need to pause and give thanks.
Oh boy.
During this season.
Has there ever been a year like this one?
Huh? Oh, I tell you what, this has been an incredible 2020. And maybe you felt the Thanksgiving knocked out of you. This is a good time to say, I'm going to recapture my Thanksgiving.
Right, I believe that. Well, we're in this message, surprised by his coming. A lot of people think maybe we are getting close to the end of the world, given what we've gone through recently.
You know, Wayne, I've stopped trying to predict a long time ago when Jesus is coming again. But here's what I do know. We are closer to the coming of Christ than any time before us.
Amen.
And you do see things escalating around the world. And I think it's good for believers when we see the world in the middle of disruption and we see some things changing rapidly. It's great for us to think, hey, could he be coming soon? And I think we need to live with that sense of the imminent return of Christ, no matter whether we're living through tranquil times or critical times.
The message today, surprised by his coming, is from Mark Job, and let's hear it right now.
You know, there's been a lot of talk in the last year or so about the end times. How about it? There's been movies made about what could happen in the end of the world. There's been predictions by radio preachers and televangelists talking about giving dates and saying the end has come. You look at what's happening around the world, and we have seen the toppling of several governments that have fallen almost overnight, like never before in the Middle East. There have been earthquakes and natural disasters like I've never seen in my lifetime the intensity. It seems like we get over one earthquake and there's another earthquake happening. There's a global economy that's tied together, and we're all experiencing the shocks of this global economy. Never before in our history has the world been set up like it is today for the fulfillment of some of the prophecies that are found in Scripture. Now, as I talk about the second coming of Christ, some of you may have deep fear about these prophetic apocalyptic events in the end times. In fact, some of you may say, well, I'm not sure I want that to happen because I don't really understand it. But if you're a believer and truly understand what the second coming of Christ is, then you will be one of those saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. I can't wait for that to happen. Now, the Bible talks about the second coming of Christ in 1 Thessalonians, and we will be talking about it in just a second. And it talks about the coming of Christ being in an instant, a lightning flash, and Jesus Christ will come again, not like he came 2,000 years ago as a child to be born in a manger, but this time Jesus Christ will come again as a king reigning in power and might, and his first order will be to take all those that are believers, followers of his, legitimate, I said believers, not churchgoers, notice the difference, take those that are following him and will take them before the final chapters of the end time. Now, I remember when I was a kid hearing about the second coming of Christ, and I would try to picture what it would be like. I thought to myself, well, what if there's an airplane pilot that's a Christian and the second coming of Christ happens and the airplane's left without the pilot and 275 people crash? What if there's a whole bunch of traffic downtown Chicago, and suddenly a bunch of drivers with Jesus stickers on their back disappear. The chaos that that could cause in traffic. I even thought to myself, hey, what would happen if on a Sunday morning, yeah, Sunday morning like today, suddenly Jesus would come? I mean, talk about a launching pad, right? But it could be a little scary, because the Bible says that some will be left behind. The Bible in 1 Thessalonians gives us two images. One is the image of a thief. The second is the image of a pregnant woman. I like the idea of comparing the second coming of Christ to a pregnant woman and her labor pains, because what it has in common is this. When a woman is pregnant with a child, she knows that the date of her delivery is on its way. Now, any doctor, any pregnant woman will tell you, you cannot predict the exact time and date of that delivery, even though the doctor will try. How about it? 19 years ago, my daughter was in my wife's womb. And the doctor had predicted, well, you know, he did the whole ultrasound. You put a little gel on her belly in the ultrasound. And he tries to predict the age of that unborn child. And so he told us, I think this child is going to be born on July 9th. Now I said, yeah, because July 9th is my birthday. Write it down in your calendar so you don't forget. No, just kidding. So I thought, great, double birthday whammy. Well, as the time came closer and my wife got bigger, July 9th came and July 9th went, and we had no baby. And the 10th and the 11th and the 15th came, and the 16th and 17th and 18th came, and we kept thinking this will be the day, this will be the week, but it didn't happen. Now, we could have started thinking, well, it's never going to happen. We might as well just plan a vacation. You know, they were all wrong. A baby's not going to come, but we would be ignoring the signs that this baby's truly coming. And then, as my wife started having contractions, we realized, hey, it's getting closer. But even when you have contractions, you cannot quite know when, because you can have contractions, how about it, ladies, for a long time. And so it is with the coming of Christ. The Bible compares the second coming somewhat like a pregnant woman. We know that it's coming. We know that the day will come when this child will be born. We know that Jesus Christ is coming, but we do not know the date. We do not know the time. In fact, the Bible tells us that anybody that predicts the date and the time should be ignored as a false prophet, because really, not even Jesus himself said he knew the date and the time, that the Father himself knew the date and the time of his return. And so the Bible tells us that we are to understand the seasons and know when it's getting close and be prepared, but ignore the setting of the dates. How about it? So if we look at 1 Thessalonians, it amazes me that although Paul had only 3 weeks with the Thessalonians church that he started, they knew so much about the coming of Christ. In fact, it's been convicting, and I thought to myself, I need to be teaching more about the coming of Jesus Christ, about his return, and how to know the signs of the time. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about how to be ready for that. And no, one of my points is not to buy a bomb shelter in Nebraska and put water and tuna cans there. That will not be my point. Because I don't believe that's how you get ready for the second coming of Christ. I believe there's four things you need to do to be ready for the coming of Christ. And they're found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Now, brothers, about the times and the dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that that day should surprise you like a thief. You are the sons of light and the sons of day. We do not belong to the night nor to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-control. Word of the Lord. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, how to prepare for His coming. You prepare for His coming by watching for the signs of the times. It tells us in verse 1, now brothers, about the times and the dates, we do not need to write you. For you know that very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The point that Paul is making is that the coming of Christ will be unannounced. Now, I've lived in Chicago for quite some time, and you and I know that if you live in Chicago and maybe now not Mount Pleasant, Iowa, that we lock our doors. We lock our car doors. We lock our house doors. We usually have bolts on our doors. Why? Because we know there's people around that would like to rob us of what we have. It's just kind of expected. You prevent robbery. You may have a bat under your bed. Some of you may have other weapons of concealment just to make sure, because you think, let's be ready for that time. I've never heard in all my years that a thief would send a warning note, postcard in advance. I've never known of a thief to say, on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, I plan to burglarize your home, so be ready. No, that's not how a thief works. What a thief does is a thief tries to catch you unprepared, unexpected. The point that Paul is making is the coming of Jesus Christ will be like that. When people are saying, peace and safety, then Jesus Christ will come again like a thief appears unexpectedly. Now, in verse 1 it says, I don't have to write you about the times and the dates. There's two words that are used here, times and dates. In our NIV it says times, in the Greek that word is chronon. It means length of time, meaning the chronological periods which occur before the second coming of Christ. There will be seasons that will take place before the coming of Christ. And Paul says, I don't have to write to you about that, but I want you to be aware of it. That there will be seasons of times, things that will be happening before the coming of Christ that will give you an idea that the coming of Christ is getting closer. The second word he uses is seasons in our NIV. The word there is carrion. It's the quality of time. It refers to significant events that take place during these times. What Paul is telling them is, you do not know the day. You cannot predict the hour, but you can know the season. You can tell that it's getting close. You can see that everything is lining up, that things are being prepared for the coming of Christ. In fact, if you read in Scripture, Jesus forbade setting the dates. He said, of the day and the hour, no one knows. Matthew 24, verse 36. God wants this day to be unexpected. It says, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven. Nor, and this may be surprising to some of you, the Son, Jesus Himself, in His own humanity, had self-limited Himself, according to Philippians chapter 2. People call it the kenosis or self-emptying passage. But only the Father knows. In other words, if the Father has that date, He's holding that date very close to His chest, so that not even the angels of heaven know the day and the time of the coming of Christ.
On this Thanksgiving Day, you're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Our message is called Surprised by His Coming, and if you'd like to hear this message again, or if you'd like to share it with a friend who might need to hear this timely and relevant topic, you can do that online at boldstepsradio.org. And while you might have a little extra time today, we'd like to invite you to explore our website. Find tools and resources aimed at helping you learn more about God and His timetable for Christ's return. Or check out our latest Bold Step gift, a book by Mark Sayers, only available until tomorrow. I'll tell you how you can request a copy later. Right now, let's get back into the second half of this message. Mark Job has so much more to say about being prepared for Jesus' return.
You say, well, why would God keep it such a secret? I think because God knows human nature. Think about it for a second. If you knew that Jesus was going to come back and you knew the time, I know how most of us work. Some of you would think, I still have time. I don't have to ask forgiveness. I don't have to get things right. And you would be counting your days. And then a week before, man, you'd be super spiritual, praying, fasting, reading your Bible, getting everything right, cleaning all your sins out. And you'd wait till the last moment because, hey, haven't you done that with a lot of other things in life? I've seen that happen with people all the time. Just like God knows the day, I believe that God knows the day that you will die, but he doesn't tell you in advance what day. The Bible says that our days are counted, numbered by God, but he doesn't tell us when because the whole point is that we live our life expecting, prepared, ready for the coming of Christ. So that today, I don't know when he's going to come, but I live as though he could come this afternoon. And if I believe and know that he could come at any time, it causes me to live expecting. I hold short fuses on my resentment. I don't want to walk in sin for long because Jesus could come at any time and I want him to find me ready at his second coming. It's an incentive. It's a challenge for us to be ready for the second coming of Christ. Paul uses the image of a thief and he uses the image of a pregnant woman. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Matthew chapter 24 verse 42 through 44 says, therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Here's the thing, look up at me. This is huge and very important. God expects you to live as though Jesus Christ could come at any moment. He wants you to live with that expectation. So if you start to go down the wrong road, you ask yourself, hey, what if Jesus were to come now? Is this what I want him to catch me doing? If he were to come today, I'd be about my Father's business? Would I be living right, acting right, doing what's right? And so every believer lives with this sense that Jesus Christ could come again at any moment. And I want to live ready for the second coming of Christ, expecting the second coming of Christ at any moment. Paul goes on to tell us in verse 4, but you, brothers, are not in the darkness. So the first thing I want you to understand is this. We need to watch the signs. Be aware of the signs of his coming. I want to mention as well that there are things 30 years ago that I thought could never happen. And today, I see how they could happen. The Bible talks about in the end times, it talks about a cashless society where people would buy and sell things based on numbers. And years ago, we never thought that could happen. But hey, how many of us now don't walk around with a lot of cash in our pocket because we have credit cards, right? At one time, years ago, the idea of a global world, and that talks about that in the end times, that leaders that would affect the whole world, that was almost impossible to think of. But now, we have summits of leaders. Now the world is connected together like it's never been connected before. We are entering some seasons that people could have only dreamed about previously. Paul goes on to tell us that not only must we be aware of the signs of the times so that we know the seasons that we're living in, but secondly, he tells us you need to prepare by being fully awake spiritually. Notice what he says, but you brothers are not in darkness, We're not the children of darkness, that this day should surprise us like a thief. He's going to come like a thief. But if you know your Bible, that day will not surprise you, because you'll know that the times are getting close and that you expect the coming of Christ. There'll be a lot of people in our society that'll be absolutely 100% caught off guard when Jesus Christ comes again, because they're biblically ignorant about what the Bible says. They won't expect it. They won't anticipate it. They will be absolutely caught off guard. But if you and I are following Scripture and have our ears and eyes open, we will not be caught off guard like a thief. We'll know the time is coming soon. When Jesus was asked by his disciples when he would return, it's interesting that Jesus never answered the question of when. He answered the question of how we should live. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the disciples came to Jesus privately and they said, "Tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" They wanted to know, like all of us want to know, when? And Jesus, in the next two chapters, basically gives them several parables. He talks to them about the parable of the sheep and the goats, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents. And all those parables never talk about the when. They talk about the how we should live so that we're ready for his coming. It's like a parent that leaves the teenager in charge of the house and the teenager wants to have some friends over. Hello? And so the teen says, "Hey mom, when exactly will you be getting home?" And the mom says, "Don't worry, I'll let you know right before I come, but just know that I'm coming back." You see, if the teen would know the time, he'd plan his party right, to have everything cleaned up. But if the mom doesn't give him the exact time, then she could show up right in the middle of his party. And that's exactly what Jesus says. He avoids the question of when I will come, but he answers the question of how we should live. And the question of how we should live, he says, "I don't want you to be spiritually asleep." Notice what he says. He says, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness." Verse 5, "You are sons of the light and sons of the day. So then, we do not belong to the night nor to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." You see, a lot of this world is sleeping spiritually. Remember, he's talking to believers, and he's basically saying there's a lot of believers, even in the churches, that consider themselves Christians that are spiritually asleep. You've kind of allowed yourself to be lured into a nap by the lullabies of this world. And so you're not looking at what God is saying. You're not active in what God is doing. You're just taking a nap while a major event is occurring. How do you and I sleep? We fall asleep when we become consumed with the things of this world and we forget about the bigger spiritual things.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe. All of Mark's messages are online, so if you've missed any message in this series and you want to catch up, do that at boldstepsradio.org. You can also listen to any of Mark's previous sermons, too. And then, did you know that you can also hear this program on your mobile device? Just download the Moody Radio app to listen whenever and wherever is convenient for you. These daily messages and the resources we offer, like the Moody Radio app, are made possible because of our partnership with listeners just like you. We call them Bold Partners. And today we're looking for more people to join our team. Come alongside us as we share the unfiltered truth of the gospel with those who need to hear it. Signing up is simple and easy when you visit boldstepsradio.org or by calling 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. But if it's easier, you can also send your financial gift in the mail. Our address is Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. One more time, that's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And when you give today to support this ministry, we'll say thanks by sending a book that we've mentioned earlier called Reappearing Church. Learn how to use prayer in such a way that it reignites worldwide hope for not only the generation that believes, but for the generation that has doubts and questions. The book is available when you call 844-615-7363. Well, that's all the time we have for today on Thanksgiving. On behalf of Mark Jobe and all of your friends here at Bold Steps, happy Thanksgiving from our homes to yours. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of this message, Surprised by His Coming. It's part of our series called Defiance, Turn Your World Upside Down, and you'll hear it Friday when you listen to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.